Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. With me, your host, Francesca. So just to share a little bit of news about me. So this is the first time I'm actually recording this episode from my new home. So I've spent spent my whole life living in London. I've spent the last 12 years living in South London. And last week, me and my partner, Mark, we moved to Margate. So that's a massive, massive change for us, obviously, having just been in London our whole lives, now to move to a seaside town. So very, very different way of life, but that's exactly what we wanted and why we came here. So we've been here just over about a week and a half. It might even sound like there's an echo in this room, which once I've produced the podcast, that should disappear. But I'm very aware of the fact that it's quite echoey in my office, which the room that I recorded these episodes from and worked from in our previous home was much smaller, much lower ceilings and everything. So it made a big difference. But here we are, we have much bigger rooms, we have much higher ceilings, we have amazing views out of the sea. So yeah, it's all just completely different. And I'm absolutely loving working from my new office, which is also a yoga room because it's big enough to be both. So in the mornings, I come in here, do a bit of movement on my mat, maybe a couple of sun salutations, and then I get to go out onto our terrace and watch the sunrise. So it is amazing. We do also walk, just go down to the beach as well to see it. But just being able to do those little things from your home before you even go out is really, really wonderful. So we are so far very happy. And yeah, like I said, this is the first time I'm recording the episode, an episode from here. So let's get into it. Today, I want to talk about how perimenopause affects practically or literally all body systems, all 12 body systems, which I'm going to detail in a minute, and why moving into perimenopause, being in perimenopause, can trigger autoimmunity, an autoimmune condition, or intensify one that was already present, whether known or unknown to the person. So we're going to get into that. So essentially, we need to realize that perimenopause isn't just this hormonal blip. It's not just a kind of a phase where, you know, a small sort of phase where we're just having a little blip in how our hormones behave. It is so much more than that. And I have talked about this, I've alluded to it in previous episodes, but today we're really just diving into what this actually is. It's a whole body transformation. It's not just about brain fog, hot flushes, mood swings, you know, all the sort of symptoms that we now really know are linked to perimenopause, the anxiety, sleep issues. It's not just about those things. It's a full-on hormonal evolution that's going on behind the scenes, led by estrogen and progesterone's changes, but that's then having this domino effect and making it this full-on hormonal change, this shift. And that shifts how women experience the world. I definitely feel that. I experience my day, my life very differently now, especially now at 45 compared to 41, 42, 43, you know, that it's changing all the time. And it doesn't just affect me, you, it affects everybody around us as well. And as your hormones sort of start to recalibrate your, you know, to this new hormonal change, your body adapts in ways that can feel confusing, frustrating, and unpredictable. I definitely resonate with that, you know, just not knowing how I'm going to feel, being confused by certain symptoms, being confused by something that's so new. I never had this before. Why now? And it's really frustrating because you just, you know, like, where has this come from? But we have to appreciate that it isn't something to be fixed. This is a transition that calls for us to be educated, be compassionate with ourselves, with other people, and get support, the right support that we need. So I really hope that, for example, this podcast that I put out every week is going to fall into that bracket of support, education, and even compassion for the women that listen. So I really hope that that's what I can bring. And then, of course, for me, myself, to have to continue to be educated and for myself to get support in various ways as well and have compassion for myself. So let's quickly just recap what actually happens during perimenopause. We can't, you know, leave that out just in case. So perimenopause is the body's slow and gradual transition towards eventually reaching menopause. So eventually going 12 months without having a period, bam, that day we are menopause. From that day onwards, we are in postmenopause for the rest of our life. And perimenopause is that slow and gradual transition towards getting there. That starts from our late 30s. During that time, two major hormonal shifts are taking place. Progesterone is starting to drop. This is the first thing that happens, so late 30s onwards, because ovulation becomes less regular, less easy to achieve, or less robust. So even if it does happen, when it does happen, I should say, because it will continue to happen, we are fertile until we reach menopause, it may not be as a robust ovulation process, which means that as much progesterone as before might not be being produced anymore. So that's how progesterone starts to drop. And then estrogen becomes unpredictable. It goes on a fluctuating roller coaster. So it starts to fluctuate erratically rather than steadily than as it did before. And then it eventually starts to steadily decline. But this would be sort of later 40s, closer to actually going those 12 months without having a period. Really and truly, if you're having, as long as we're still having regular monthly periods, we can assume that our estrogen could be three times higher than it's ever been before whilst we're in perimenopause. So the mistake that a lot of women make, and I've said this before, is that if they're 42, 43 and they're having, or even 45, and they're having hot flushes, they start to think, I need estrogen therapy now because it's low. But actually, it can still be extremely high at that point, just fluctuating erratically. And it's those erratic fluctuations and the drops of that roller coaster that are causing things like hot flushes, which we would assume means our estrogen is low, but not necessarily. It's more likely to be starting to decline later in our 40s once periods become, you know, once we're starting to skip periods and we're going, you know, a few months without them at a time, for example. Now, these changes, this fluctuating estrogen, this decline in progesterone, they don't just affect your period and your cycles. It literally influences how every cell, tissue, and system in your body functions, because hormones like estrogen and progesterone, they interact with the cell receptors all over the body, which basically means they have an important role in all of these different systems. So when they change, when those hormones change, when they behave differently, when they decline, it impacts all of those systems. So we call this, more and more experts are now describing this as metabolic upheaval. I've mentioned this before. So we're recognizing it as a time of this big metabolic shift. And it's driven by changes in things like insulin sensitivity, how sensitive our cells are to insulin. So we become more likely to be insulin resistant as part of this metabolic upheaval. It changes our blood sugar regulation. So how efficient we are at processing, for example, carbohydrates, sugars, bigger meals. Fat storage becomes more likely, particularly around the middle. This is essentially due to blood sugar dysregulation and insulin resistance. Cortisol changes, the stress response changes. We're more likely to be less resilient to stress, and cortisol essentially increases when progesterone declines and estrogen starts fluctuating erratically. We get increases in cortisol because the way that those hormones are behaving is essentially a stressor to the brain. And so that increases cortisol, and then our stress response becomes more, we're less resilient to stress, and we tend to feel stressed more easily. Thyroid function changes, but most likely it becomes underactive. It can be a hyperthyroidism as well situation, but essentially thyroid function changes either way. Muscle mass declines, metabolic rate declines, cardiovascular risk becomes higher as well. So this is what we mean by this metabolic upheaval that the changes in estrogen and progesterone are bringing on. And this ripple effect, it doesn't just change how we feel. Of course, it's going to also increase our long-term risk for for chronic conditions, you know, like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and autoimmune activity, which is why supporting your whole body health now is so powerful for your future resilience. It's never too early to start supporting your body. So if you're listening to this and you're much younger, you're not even in perimenopause, that's wonderful. I'd love that. The earlier we can start to look after our bodies, the better. But it's also never too late. So even if you're listening to this and you're 52 and you're postmenopause, it's never, ever too late to start supporting your body and bringing down your long-term risk of these chronic conditions, even potentially reversing some of them, you know, if they're already there, like type 2 diabetes. We can put autoimmunity into essentially keep it at bay, keep those antibodies down as low as possible with our nutrition and lifestyle habits. It's really powerful. So let's talk about how perimenopause affects all 12 body systems. So our hormones don't just work in isolation. They influence every system in your body. So let's just go through a quick overview of the 12 major systems and how perimenopause can impact each one. So first one being the endocrine system. Endocrine basically your hormone production. So we've got endocrine glands in the body that release hormones. So when we say endocrine system, endocrinology, we're talking about hormone release. So hormone production and signaling changes dramatically during perimenopause. As I said, you know, estrogen is fluctuating, progesterone is declining, cortisol can become dysregulated, as I mentioned. So we tend to see increases in cortisol. That can eventually lead to, you know, these increased cortisol can eventually lead to somebody being in a very low cortisol state as well, I must add. And thyroid function shifts. So that's essentially what's going on within the endocrine system. Then the reproductive system. So obvious changes there include having irregular cycles. So essentially just changes to your menstrual cycle, longer or shorter cycles, longer or shorter periods, and ovulatory cycles, which basically means cycles where we didn't ovulate, reduced chances of fertility because we're ovulating less or not as robustly, as I mentioned earlier, and that decline in progesterone. But it also includes, when we talk about the reproductive system, it can also include shifts in libido and vaginal health, you know, vaginal dryness, for example. And then we've got the nervous system. So this would relate to mood swings, anxiety, how we handle stress, brain fog, sleep disturbances, irritability. These often start to show up due to estrogen's impact on brain chemicals, neurotransmitters like serotonin, which is really important for mood. And calm feelings, and also GABA, which is a really great neurotransmitter for helping us to sleep well, have restorative sleeps, and to basically calm the brain with away from anxiety, irritability, etc. And then we have the immune system. So hormonal changes, the estrogen fluctuating, progesterone declining, particularly progesterone declining, can increase inflammation and trigger or unmask, as I said, autoimmune conditions that were already there, whether we knew they were there or not, especially in those people with an underlying increased susceptibility to autoimmunity. For example, if it's in your family, you know, then it may trigger it or unmask it. So it does, estrogen is very important in the immune system, so is progesterone. So when those hormone changes, progesterone declines, it really can affect how the immune system responds to things, which is why we can then, the immune system can start to respond to certain, you know, tissues in the body and start to break them down, which is essentially what autoimmunity is. It's your own body breaking down tissue. So for example, it could be the thyroid gland, which is Hashimoto's, where you have antibodies against your thyroid gland, and it could be antibodies against joints. So for example, rheumatoid arthritis. And then we have the digestive system. So estrogen affects gut motility, for example, and also impacts the gut microbiome. So the population of friendly gut bacteria. Estrogen is very helpful at keeping that nice and healthy. It's also important for helping us to have regular bowel movements for the gut motility, which is why when estrogen starts its decline or its erratic fluctuations and we get those sharp drops, we can suddenly in our 40s or later 40s or even postmenopause start to notice that we have gastric reflux that we never had before, or we're not going to the toilet as regularly as we were before. And that's because of estrogen affecting the gut motility. Lower progesterone can mean less anti-inflammatory support for the gut lining, which can basically mean that that gut lining can start to become what's known as impermeable. It will start to become permeable, meaning it's also known as something called leaky gut. So we can start to have these kind of bigger gaps within the lining of the gut where they should be very tightly packed together. The cells should be very tightly packed together to make sure that nothing sort of pours out from the gut into the rest of the body that shouldn't be there. But if we have this, if we have less anti-inflammatory support for our gut lining, it's more likely that things that shouldn't seep out from the gut get into the body. And that causes an inflammatory response because the immune system responds to these things that shouldn't be in the body, that should remain in the gut. And that causes this, you know, inflammatory response. And that inflammation can impact things like, you know, can cause like aches and pains, joint aches and pains, muscle aches and pains, all sorts of things that we'll talk about. Then we've got the musculoskeletal system. So this is where bone density starts to decline, joint aches, stiffness, you know, frozen shoulder, where the shoulder joint becomes stiff and hard to move and it becomes inflamed, or loss of muscle mass known as sarcopenia, which happens to everybody from sort of 30, 35 upwards, but becomes more, a little bit more rapid for women in perimenopause and beyond. So that muscle loss can just become more kind of noticeable. Again, there's lots of stuff we can be doing to support these things, which I have talked about in previous episodes. But yeah, we're just kind of really wanting to outline how perimenopause impacts these systems. Then we have the cardiovascular system. So the protective effects of estrogen on blood vessels begins to wane as we're having the erratic nature of it. We're getting sharp drops in that roller coaster and then the eventual decline of estrogen later in the later stages. And that starts to increase our long-term risk for, you know, high blood pressure, heart disease. Then we have the respiratory system. So changing hormone levels can influence breathing patterns and even contribute to this new onset or worsening of asthma in some women. I've definitely been through a phase in the last few years where I suddenly was just wheezing all the time. I had asthma as a child, but I certainly haven't had it as an adult. And I just started to wheeze all the time. It's something that seems to have passed, but yeah, and that's the nature of perimenopause, is that it's this ever evolving, you know, situation of different symptoms kind of shift and change over the course of the, whatever it is, 10 years or so. Then we've got the skin, integumentary system. So this refers to your skin, your hair, your nails. So you might notice dry skin. I definitely notice dry hands. I have to put hand cream on all the time. Thinning hair, brittle nails, or changes in how your skin heals. You might notice it's a bit slower to heal, for example. This is all linked to lower estrogen and also shifts in nutrients. The urinary system, so bladder sensitivity, urgency, and increased risk of infections like UTIs, that can result from declining estrogen and changes in pelvic tissue integrity. Then we've got the lymphatic system. So as part, this is part of the immune system, and it can also become dysregulated. And that would contribute to inflammation, sluggish detoxification. So moving our sort of lymph, moving our body is really important, you know, moving the lymph tissue through the system, making sure we've got that blood circulation going. It's really important for the lymphatic system to prevent that inflammation and sluggish detox. And then finally, the skeletal system. So while we often group the skeletal system with the musculoskeletal system, bone loss deserves extra emphasis. We need to see that as its own kind of system. And estrogen is essential for maintaining bone health. And so is progesterone, actually. There's lots more research coming out recently about progesterone's role in bone strength, bone density. So another reason why it's just really important that we do try and make progesterone as long as we can into perimenopause before we get to menopause itself, where we're obviously not going to make it anymore. And I've got separate episodes on progesterone and how we can support the production of progesterone all the way through perimenopause. So let's now move on to talking about specifically autoimmunity in perimenopause. So along with postpartum, so just after giving birth, and menopause, perimenopause is one of the key life stages where autoimmune conditions is often triggered or diagnosed, as I mentioned. So autoimmune diseases, they're characterized by the immune system attacking healthy tissue, often quite slowly and silently over time. So like I said, we could have already had an existing autoimmunity situation going on in the background that we're not aware of. But as we move into perimenopause, it intensifies or becomes, you know, triggered or becomes apparent that it's there. So for example of these autoimmune diseases, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So this, I've mentioned a minute ago, attacks the thyroid gland. This is where we have certain antibodies that are attacking that thyroid gland if these antibodies are too high. So we're always going to have potentially a level of antibodies in the body, but it's when they get past a certain point, which is quite low, that it becomes a problem. So this is why we test for antibodies towards the thyroid and we see what level they're at. So it's common to have Hashimoto's. Is common, more common than we realize. And it's why I have all my clients do a full thyroid panel that includes testing their thyroid antibodies. And I've done, listen to episode 32, where I talk about thyroid health and particularly thyroid testing. Of course, we want to be testing things like TSH, T4, T3, but we also need to be testing the antibodies once we're 40 plus. And I would like to do that every year for myself and for my clients if possible. It's not an expensive test, but it's probably something that you may have to do privately if your GP won't test antibodies for you. And then we've got rheumatoid arthritis, which targets the joint tissues. Lupus targets skin, joints, kidneys, heart, and other systems as well. So that's quite a systemic autoimmunity. Type 1 diabetes destroys insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. And multiple sclerosis damages a protective sheath around nerve fibers. But what I would say is that the most common in perimenopause is Hashimoto's and possibly rheumatoid arthritis as well. But Hashimoto's is very common. So when clients come to me and say they've had a diagnosis previously of underactive thyroid, hypothyroidism, I always say, are you regularly getting your antibodies checked? And they'll say, oh, I've never had my thyroid antibodies checked. And then I'll think, well, potentially the root cause of your hypothyroidism is antibodies being present. And then we test and there they are. So actually, yes, they have hypothyroidism, they have underactive thyroid, but the root cause of that is having Hashimoto's. So therefore, we don't just want to simply replace T4, you know, have this T4 medication. We want to get to the root. So if we can fix why Hashimoto's is occurring, which will be a whole other separate episode I'll do on that, because it really does come down to various lifestyle situations that we'll talk about in a minute, then we can, you know, potentially this person can start to make T4 themselves again. Okay, so that's just a kind of quick overview of some of the autoimmune conditions. Now, there's a gastroenterologist and researcher called Dr. Alessio Fasano, Italian doctor. He outlines the three ingredients needed for autoimmunity to take hold and trigger, which he refers to as the autoimmune triad. So you can Google this and have a read of it if you want to learn more about it. So the three ingredients as part of this autoimmune triad are a genetic predisposition in the first place, which some people have. For example, my mum has rheumatoid arthritis and my sister also does. So far, I have not. So potentially the genetic predisposition has kind of gone down to my sister, but not to me. The second one is increased intestinal permeability, also known as leaky gut. I mentioned that earlier. Holes in the lining of the gut form, and things that shouldn't pass out from the gut get to pass into the body, and that can cause autoimmunity. And the third one is a trigger. This is usually a lifestyle trigger, most commonly stress, some sort of infection, hormonal shifts, e.g. perimenopause or postpartum or postmenopause, or environmental exposures. So it could be things like food allergens, you know, food intolerances that you're not aware of, that you're continuing to eat, other sort of environmental exposures. But we'll talk about this more so on a separate episode in the future, near future. So while we can't change our genetic predisposition to certain conditions, we can influence numbers 2 and 3. We can influence our gut health. We can support our gut lining, make it nice and strong again with no holes. And we can reduce our exposure to triggers. And perimenopause is the perfect time to start doing this. But as I said, it's never too late either. So while it might sound overwhelming, and you might think, oh no, like this is such an awful time, it I understand that that's how it sounds, but the awareness of all of this stuff is what's really empowering. And by understanding what's happening, what's potentially going to happen, we can take real targeted action to start supporting our body and reducing that risk. And again, that's what this whole podcast is for. It's called Empowered Perimenopause because I want you to understand what's going on and then understand how to support it and go off and do those things, you know, and build on that over and over time. You know, just increase over time, just slowly, gradually increase all the good things that you're doing to prevent your risk. So in a nutshell, start by supporting your gut health, start by prioritizing blood sugar balance, eating in a way that balances blood sugar, increasing protein, managing stress and supporting adrenal health. Essentially, that's supporting the nervous system, getting enough protein and doing resistance training, weightlifting to preserve and build muscle. Consider functional testing or working with a practitioner like myself or a functional medicine doctor or other nutritional therapist if symptoms persist even after doing all these great things. Now, the most powerful lifestyle changes for prevention or stabilization of autoimmunity are improving intestinal permeability, so this so-called leaky gut, and gut health generally. So really, you know, making sure that we have lots of lovely beneficial protective bacteria in our gut, and supporting, reducing inflammation within the gut that supports the lining to prevent or reverse a leaky gut situation, and reduce or avoid where possible the particular triggers, like managing stress, looking after your nervous system, looking at your own life load and seeing where you can make some positive changes to make it happier, make it easier, you know, anything that you can do, managing or kind of finding out if there's any infections and managing those. Hormonal shifts, obviously, but if we can, that's inevitable during perimenopause and postmenopause, but if we can do the right things to support those hormonal shifts, which is what every episode of this podcast is about, my blog is about, the work I do with my one-to-one clients, and reducing environmental exposures that can trigger. I'm going to create a whole episode purely on how we can support the body to prevent or reverse autoimmune situations, particularly talking about the triggers, the environmental triggers, and also leaky gut. So that will be the next episode coming. But in the meantime, I hope this has just been helpful to raise awareness and make you, you know, empower you with that knowledge of what could potentially be going on. So thank you for listening this week, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.